can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, we're back, second hour. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad the second. I'm with the Ralph Winterroad Show, live out of Alaska. And Baphomet, Baal, he's a loving whale. Satan and all of his little demons. They're all out there just pounding away on us with deception, lies. There's a war going on in this world for our soul. Our republic hangs by a thread. Because we have been deceived, we have been conned, we have been lied to. And it is amazing when you start to understand how right in our face all this stuff is. The citizen of the United States is a killer. I'm continuing on, summarizing again. If I am a citizen of the United States, which is the only status in the District of Columbia, I have no rights of suffrage. I can't vote at any of the constitutional elections for the national government. I have no rights to vote on how the money is spent in the national government. So the question becomes, with just that little simple thing, and also in this cupcake, no matter where I go, wherever my property is, the Supreme Court says I am receiving a benefit because I am under the plenary power of Congress, which we now know as United States of America, sovereign body politic. I haven't proved the part sovereign body politic, but that's Congress. I'm going to get to it. I got him cornered. I'm going to get to it. In Toppin's case, interrogatories and admissions, they do not want to go there. But anyway, getting back to the thing, no matter where I go in the world, even Mexico, I'm still stuck. I can go to Minnesota. I can go to North Carolina. I can go to Texas. I'm still obligated, if I am a citizen of the United States under the Internal Revenue Code, they can do any dang thing they want and tax it. And they have unlimited powers of taxation because I don't have any say-so over it. Oh, wow. Does that sound like someplace we want to be in this country? That's documented. It's an unassailable fact. And I got to use the D.C., 1040 form. I got to use the same 1040 form. 15454 or OMB number 15455-0074. I got to use the same W-2s. I got to use the same 1099s, no matter whether I'm in Texas or whether I'm in Minnesota or am I in D.C. You think? And then we got Congress, because they have this, we cannot discriminate. Well, a citizen of the United States that's using all the same forms in D.C. has got to be the same as one outside, right? Well, absolutely. I'm for it. Let's get it on. I have no constitutional right of suffrage. Well, the 15th Amendment, what does it say? Amazingly, this is LeGrand versus United States, 12F577. It's an 1882 case. 12F is in Frank, 577. The 15th Amendment. That can have no application. This amendment relates to the citizen of the United States to vote. It does not confer the right of suffrage on anyone. It merely invests citizens of the United States with the constitutional right of exemption from discrimination in the exercise of the elective franchise on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. And it's based on the amazingly cases like United States versus Reese, and confirmed in United States versus Cruikshank. Well, if the 15th Amendment doesn't do anything, what's the right to vote? That's the right to show up at the building. I can't have anybody armed guard out there saying I can't go in regardless of race, color, or whatever's. Once I get in the building, to exercise the right of suffrage means I have to have the status of a citizen of one of the several states. A citizen of the United States has nothing. All Congress is doing is saying, oh, well, you can't sit outside and keep the people of the several states from going inside because of their race, their color, or whatever the hell you want to rank up. How many people know this? They don't teach it. I wouldn't either if I was them. This is the con. So now if I got no right as a citizen of the United States, the sovereign is the United States. Well, what happens about, do I have a right to an Article 3 judge? No. Where do I find that? Oh, many places. It's under, this happens to be a Ninth Circuit case, but it's United States versus Jenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S, and it's 734 F2D 1322. 734 F as in Frank 2D 1322. It's a 1983 case. What does it say? It says the Constitution does not require that all federal criminal law be enforced by Article 3 courts. It's relying upon a Supreme Court case. It says the power of Congress over federal enclaves that come within the scope of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 is obviously the same power of Congress over the District of Columbia. Well, how about outside of the District of Columbia? Oh, we got that fixed in 1940 with the Buck Act. We said everybody that's a citizen of the United States under 4 U.S.C. 110 under the definition of federal area is deemed to be in a federal area. If you're in the territorial boundaries of one of the several, one of the states, I don't think we use the several, one of the states. So if you're in the out, so they take the outside boundaries of Texas or Minnesota or North Carolina, and if you're anywhere inside of those boundaries, you're deemed to be in a federal area, and the courts have said, well, by the way, a federal area and a federal enclave, you're screwed. If you're a citizen of the United States, you're the same thing. There's that. So there's no discrimination. Well, isn't that amazing? Well, we wouldn't want any discrimination. I mean, if I'm going to be a slave to Pelosi and Schumer and all those demonic whatevers up there at the top, God, we wouldn't want to discriminate. So now I'm in the District of Columbia. I go outside of a federal enclave, I'm in a federal area under the Buck Act. 1940, put into positive law in 1947, and codified in 4 U.S.C. 110. Wow, I feel really good now. Did they teach me this in college? Oh, I didn't go to college. Did they teach me it in grade school? No. Did they teach it in high school? No. Why is that? So I don't have a right to an Article 3 court, which means an a truly adversarial court. What is a non-Article? What's a non-Article 3 court? There is your old Star Chamber court out of Mary O. England. How do we prove that? Absolutely. They use the trilemma. You will confess. We get different ways to get you to confess by doing depositions, two inquisitorial things on books and records. We get you in a reduced a judgment by doing depositions. We imitate an adversarial court because we put in a declaration by an IRS agent, if it's IRS, with some public record, and if you do not rebut each and every item and the public record by affidavit, immediately you've lost. And we found that out confirmed by the magistrate in Thompson Thornton's case in Minnesota, and also by the attorney general, the acting guy, twice. He said, you already lost. Really? They didn't tell me that. Yeah, they did in that particular case. The magistrate did up in Thornton's case. I wasn't involved initially. It's like a summary judgment. So if you do not rebut it with an affidavit, each and every report, they automatically, Judge Nelson says, oh, well, this here is clear and convincing evidence, which is the highest level in a civil constitutional court. And in their world, they use the same words with not one iota of testimony in that court. How the hell do you have an adversarial court with testimony if nobody testifies under oath in that court? Because they use the old trilemma. We will get you to confess by some means to what we want. Number two, it will be under penalties of perjury. And number three, if you don't, we are going to nail your butt with jail or like they did Thornton. We will put a contempt of court and you will give us the answer we want, just like in Braveheart. And if you don't, you will. I guarantee you will. Mark in Florida, question, comment.
Yes, I do, Ralph. Thanks for letting me in. You were talking about the elections where the U.S. citizen has a right to enter the building, but no right to cast a ballot.
Yeah, it's, so my go ahead with your question, but I want to get it right. A citizen of the United States, not U.S.
Correct.
Citizen. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, citizen of the United States. Maybe you can explain the difference after my question. But so if I was the commissioner of elections for my county, I could order the polling places to allow anybody in that do not allow citizens of the United States to cast a ballot, only to allow state citizens to cast a ballot.
Yes,
would that
absolutely
bring up the...
Absolutely, and I'm going to get to that, too. Yep, that's a very good question. And the bottom line is, first of all, answer your other one. U.S. citizen is really not defined anywhere. Citizen of the United States is used. U.S. citizen is a term that basically means almost nothing other than a few areas in commerce. So you want to be correct. Citizen of the United States is the reason why you want to go there, because that's in the 14th Amendment and other places. That's in your voter registration. I think Florida uses citizen of the United States of America, which still has no elective franchise or suffrage. That is a status
right
that everybody has, but you still don't have the elective franchise, which means you're entitled to vote in the sovereign state of Florida for a Republican form of government for people that are qualified. Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned that Florida has a Citizens of the United States of America. Yes, they did change that. They added of America to it, and that kind of confused me a little bit.
Still has no elective front. This is the way everybody that is naturalized that comes in. I got four of them right out of DOJ. If you're naturalized, you have to come in as a citizen of the United States of America. Then you pick a domicile in one of the several states and you become a citizen of Florida, you become what's known also as an American citizen, and you still are a citizen of the United States of America because you've been naturalized. Okay?
Okay, but that's still confusing. But if you're a citizen of Florida, or a Florida citizen,
no,
then you are
citizen, a citizen of Florida. Florida citizen is... Yeah, go ahead.
Then you are ipso facto a citizen of the United States. But
nope,
not,
absolutely not. Not true. That's a con. This is under, if you are domiciled in Florida as a citizen of Florida, you come under the term of a national of the United States. You say that's 11, 8 U.S.C. 1101A 22B, and it's on your passport too. B, which says I am not a citizen of the United States, but I owe permanent allegiance to the United States. And under Reese and Cramshaw or Cruikshank, you can assume the character of a citizen of the United States if you're in D.C. to talk to Congress about what they're doing or whatever. It's about you're assuming a character of it, but you only have one domicile. And you have one allegiance, which is to Florida. That's your, but you owe permanent allegiance to the United States because it's the supreme law of the land. That makes sense or not?
Yeah, it does, and it helps me out a great deal. The fraud and deception of words is just spectacular. I don't know if that's the correct word. It's just it's mind-boggling how.
Well, you have to understand. That you are in a sovereign country called Florida, one of the several states. And you are automatically a citizen of the United States, whether you want to be or not. And that's where the law of the land, because you are attached to the land as a citizen of Florida. If you assume the status of a citizen of the United States, which is a statutory creation in 1866, 2014 Stat 27, only for the Negroes, to give them the illusion of, quote, civil rights, but if they have no political rights, they have no say-so in the government, the Republican form of government. Well, why in the hell would I want to not have my political rights, too? The other thing that is so confusing that people don't understand is social rights. There is no frickin' damn thing. Social rights is said, I'm in a flock of blackbirds, and if you don't like blackbirds, you're a racist. That's social. There is no such thing as social rights. It's political rights, which is the right to vote for the form of government, to have qualified people that that are over you, that you are giving a limited delegation of power. They have to have an oath as a public officer to the constitution of that state so that you can limit what they can do. A citizen of the United States, none of that happens.
So for congressmen and senators of the United States before 1861 and under the Articles of Confederation, they were state citizens and not U.S. citizens, but they held a position.
Well, they were state citizens, and I think where that citizen of the United States and the Constitution comes from is the United Colonies. Say they were United States, so they were deemed to be a citizen of the United Colonies, is what they're really saying. It's not the same thing as the citizen of the United States that has no rights and no remedies that Congress made up in 1866. Because I guarantee you, before the citizen of the United States, the fictional one, showed up, which I'm going to get to in the public. I don't know how much time I have left here today. I do have enough time yet. But the bottom line is, under the public, the National Voter Registration Act, they created a new office of the president. Well, back in a minute. Hold on.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, well, we're back here, and Mark, the citizen of the United States is the root of everything. Now, another thing which I had talked over earlier, if you're a citizen of the United States, this is in, where did I find that? That's in 185A period, arrow period, R period, F1. 55. This is a law review, American Law Review. Do you know that a citizen of the United States, doesn't the 10th Amendment has no application to it? Now let's stop and think about what that says. I thought, according to the Constitution of the United States, it says people of the several states, those are the ones that are supposed to elect the representatives. That was changed in the 17th Amendment to just people of the state. It left out several states so they could redefine states. 17th Amendment is totally bogus. As soon as the 17th Amendment passed, guess what happened? United States, which is the real party of interest from 1789 to 1913, was what was found in the constitutional courts. All of a sudden, since the 17th Amendment passed, we no longer have people of the several states electing representatives. We no longer have people of the several states of using the legislature of the several states electing the senators. So automatically, we have lost our standing. There is no standing in the Constitution for the people of the several states, and there is no standing for the legislatures of the several states. So automatically it went from 1913 to 1916. They changed it over to United States of America is a sovereign body politic. And I have 110 cases into the public record where DOJ says the United States of America is a sovereign body politic, which is true if we, the people, don't understand who we are. We have had, they trick us. So I go into being a citizen of the United States. That's why 1948 was so important, because you see, a citizen of the United States doesn't have any standing in a constitutional court. So what they did in 1948, they had come out with the United States District Court, 28 U.S.C. 132, that's 28 U.S.C. 132, exercising judicial power of a district court. That's the definition of an inquisitor, which is somebody that is in charge, no different than if you watched the Braveheart. The guy at the end said, hey, confess your sins, because it will absolve you of everything. I kid you not. He is an inquisitor, the judicial power of a district court exercised by a single person. It says so. It does not say judicial power of the United States. So this is why we have to have the United States District Courts. And then, because you automatically, being in Florida, you are always a citizen of the of Florida. So if you were to go into that court and, say, have a trial by jury for an IRS issue, they have to get you to consent to leave the law of the land of a district court of the United States under the 1789 Judiciary Act. So how do they do that? They do it right in front of you. The jury, the judge will say, is everybody here, or he actually does it the other way, is anybody here not a citizen of the United States? Well, the jury doesn't have a clue. And you sit there because you don't have a clue. You have just consented to being tried by citizens of the United States that have no political rights, have no constitutional rights, and are under the absolute plenary power of Congress. And it's done with one sentence and their silence. That's sort
of. So when he asked that question, I would raise my hand and say, I am not a citizen of the United States.
Well, what I did. I get a whole bunch of Alaska dismissed. I said, as soon as they got through, I said, because in the federal courts, they won't let you ask questions. Because if you do, you can blow it out. But down here in the state court in Alaska, I said, well, great. I said, everybody there just did this under the, they just sworn under an oath. So what is a citizen of the United States? Got to have an informed jury. Nobody knows. Oh, let's take a quick recess. Next thing I know, I get a 43A. We don't want to play with you no more.
Yep. So my next question would be, with Kim Von Ark, had he claimed that he was a California citizen?
Say that again? I didn't quite understand. Say that again?
In Kim Von Ark, he claimed he had U.S. citizenship under the 14th Amendment, but he should have properly claimed, probably because his lawyers did this to him, he should have properly claimed that he was a California citizen.
No, citizen of California. You got to be real precise with this. And the way you prove this, you put it, I've got a status document that works, but I'm going to be modified. I just got so many things that have blown up. You have to put into the public record that you are a citizen of California and national of the United States under 1101A22B. And you put it into the public record. You get certified copies. You put that into the court, it's a public record, it becomes self-authenticating under Evidence Rule 901, number 7. And then you can use 18 U.S.C. 911 to claim to be a citizen of the United States. It's a felony if you can't prove it. And where's the evidence that I am? But I'll get, hold on a minute, and I'll give you another one. I'll just about.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, well, we're back here. Mark, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, here's the con. Say you go into the court, and this is before you ever get there, but you ever get to this trial by jury. First of all, you never have a trial by jury, because it's not. You want to have a bench trial where you can talk law. They do not want you doing that, I guarantee you. But let's get down to an interesting question. They have to have what's called subject matter jurisdiction. They have to have what's called personal jurisdiction. You can only be, you have to have evidence that you are a citizen of the United States. They get it by trickery. So you can challenge them by under 28 U.S.C. 2201. That judge, because not a judge, he's merely an inquisitor, cannot make a determination that you are a citizen of the United States, i.e. taxpayer. Well, then he can't get personal jurisdiction, can he? So he can't proceed. But you got to have the knowledge to understand, will this court please make a determination on the record that I am a citizen of the United States, quote, unquote, and I would like the evidence thereof put in the record? He can't go there. How many people know to do these things, see? Because it's like Indiana Jones, if you ever saw the movie. You got to know which stone to step on. They have to get you to voluntarily step into their con. And it's done several ways. Go ahead. What's your question?
So he might have jurisdiction over the subject matter, but
he does not.
But me, he does not have personal jurisdiction over me.
He doesn't have subject matter jurisdiction because they use United States of America. There is no counsel for the United States of America. Doesn't exist. So what they do is they cite constitutional statutes like 28 U.S.C. 1331. Just constitution, laws, all that. And if you challenge subject matter of jurisdiction, in the real world, the court had to put its own authority to exercise that. So if you just put in, you're challenging subject matter jurisdiction, they will come back with, oh, you're making a facial, F-A-C-I-A-L, F-A-C-I-A-L, a facial attack or a facial challenge to that statute. No. And they say, oh, no, well, that statute's constitutional. Yeah, absolutely true. The problem is you have to attack the statute for the authority of the court because they, in their world, do not automatically show that they have the authority to adjudicate the constitutional statutes. Do you follow?
Under
28 United States Code 132, they're a United States District Court. Their authority comes from the territory of Hawaii. It does not arise under Article 3, Sections 1 and 2, exercising. You have to put in exercising judicial power of the United States because their code, they're exercising the judicial power of a district court, which can be done by a single person, and it says rule, order, or whatever. That is what you have to very concisely say, well, you're not exercising the judicial power of the United States arising under means the authority comes from the Constitution of Article 3, Sections 1 and 2. You have to plead it very concisely. You have to challenge their authority. You can't challenge the codes that they're supposed to be enforcing because they're not going to enforce them. You have to challenge their authority to be a court.
What are the elements of subject matter versus personal jurisdiction?
Okay. Personal is you have to be a citizen domiciled, and then you have to have a constitutional court arising under Article 3, Sections 1 and 2 and all that. Subject matter jurisdiction, you will find, is in the legislative history, there are two courts, actually three, but there's two courts that, there's actually three in the United States. There's only three. The Federal Circuit Court of Appeals says under Rule 4 and Rule 10, the real party of interest is United States, no United States of America. In the legislative history establishing those courts, the Federal Court of Claims, which is Article 1, which is the interest, only it's very limited for damages by United States, with the only Article 3 court being the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals that has national jurisdiction, is in the legislative history. The other courts that they have are on geography. We found you. We found the citizen of the United States residing somewhere. Subject matter jurisdiction used to be tied to the constitutional courts. It was part of the court would self-analyze itself, and it had to prove that it had the authority to adjudicate those constitutional provisions like 28 U.S.C. 1331. They don't do that. It's pled, but nobody brings it up. Okay, well, it's like the devil saying, yeah, I love them Ten Commandments, but hey, what, Bubba, you're not abiding by them, and you have no authority to use them. So you have to go after the court. That's what we did in Mooney's case up there. They dismissed it with prejudice. Then 3 months later, because it's so, nobody'd ever done this. So they came back, but we're not done with it. The judge overturned her dismissed with prejudice. But she has to have reasons, and none of her reasons are valid. It's total smoke. I mean, I can blow it apart so many ways.
Well, isn't it the duty of the prosecutor to convey jurisdiction to the court?
But he's in on it. He knows there's no court. It's all a con. There's nobody lawfully there. Nobody is bound to do anything constitutional in the federal or state courts. And the reason why there's no state courts, there's no state governments. There's no elections for them. That's under the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. There is no elections for any state officers. All of these states today are in municipal, are definitely are under as a municipal entity, under the United States, and that is in the definitions. It's defined as means. Means is a new definition. They only allow elections for citizens of the United States, like in Minnesota, or citizens of the United States of America, like in Florida. Where's the elections for the citizens of Florida to elect your public officers of the state of Florida? They don't have elections. And this administrative law review says so. And it also says there's no 10th Amendment that says the 14th trumps the 10th Amendment. It can't, because the people that formed it, there were only two entities. The people of the several states, called citizens of the several states, and the legislatures of the several states. Those are the ones that are covered in the 10th Amendment. Well, if the 14th, which it says you cannot take a prohibition on a federal government and turn it into a grant, that's what they've done. I started to say this before, and what they did after the Civil War, they reconstructed our republic, and they took the core citizenship, which started from inalienable rights to a citizen of Florida to allegiance to the United States. They turned everything upside down. I got a book on this, another one. They turned it into a national citizenship of being a citizen of the United States. They turned everything upside down. Everybody is a national citizen of the United States, but you got no political rights, you have no constitutional rights, you're under the absolute control of Congress, and we can prove this by going to the District of Columbia. They use the same Internal Revenue Code, they use the same W-2s, they use the same 1099s, and the courts have said they don't got nothing. They got no political rights. They have no constitutional rights to an Article 3 court, because it's not in the Constitution for the people in the District of Columbia. The courts in the several states are limited jurisdictional courts, but only if you're a citizen of Florida. And they trick you. That's why they have these non-constitutional courts, because they're not under anything. They just made them up. They have to trick you, like on the jury. Is there anybody here or not a citizen of the United States? And you sit there dumber than a rock. Yay! Well, sounds good to me. You just agreed to step out of your status as a citizen of Florida and be tried by citizens of the United States that got nothing. There's no rule of law. That guy sitting up there, the judge, is nothing more than an inquisitor exercising the Star Chamber, and it's all a con. And I know how they do it now.
So the judge and the prosecutor are nothing more than a tag team operation, but still, judge, if they did it right, the judge cannot assume anything. He's got to get his permission, his jurisdiction, his authority from the prosecutor.
No, they're both in collusion with it, because he comes under the United States of America, and he'll sign up in the complaint as by and through. Wait a minute, where's the counsel for the plaintiff, United States of America? We ask that question. They will not answer it, because it's by and through. It's by somebody else, or they say for the benefit of the United States, on behalf of means you're going to benefit, but you're not a real party of interest. They use behalf of.
Okay. I'm comprehending a little better. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you so much.
Sure. Well, it's not an easy thing. No, got some good questions. So, anyway, we get back to all these things that we can prove in the District of Columbia. Well, they got to be the same out here in the several states, or the states. Because, God, we wouldn't want to have any discrimination. Oh, my God, that's the cornerstone of our whole con. No discrimination. Yay! Same thing. So they get around, and how they do the, Minnesota or Florida or North Carolina, they define things with the word means. Because, you see, we can define it, because the 17th Amendment left out the several states and just put in state. So we can define the state. How did they know to do that way back then? You think there might be a little bit of superior knowledge of somebody working here, like the old good old Satan, somebody behind the scenes, you think? Because it's defined. In 52, this started in 1993, before that, but this is the final stuff here where we can get around definitions. It says in 52 United States Code 2000-205-02. By the way, your motor voter thing and all this nonsense signs up. If you go track it, when you sign up, you go to, quote, sign up to get a driver's license. Under your state plan, you will be going back to the National Voter Registration Act in Alaska. It just takes two steps. I signed up as a citizen of Alaska. I wanted them to take me on. They wouldn't do it. But you will say you're signing up to be under the National Voter Registration Act. And what does it say? It says the term state in quotation mark means a state of the United States and the District of Columbia. And that's a conjunction. They are both of the same status because they're put together, state of the United States. So each one of your, quote, states is a state of the United States. It's a municipal entity. And it's only for citizens of the United States. Because, you see, the Motor Voter Act says so. That's in the findings, which is in 2052, United States Code 205-01. The Congress finds the right of citizens of the United States to vote is a fundamental right. Yeah, it's right to show up and not be harassed by blacks, whites, purples, I don't know, whatever the hell you want to call them. It's irrelevant. But see, it gets crazier yet. You can't make this stuff up. Because it says also, if when you sign up as a citizen of the United States under the National Voter Registration Act, which every state is using, definition two, the term federal office, in quotation mark, federal office now, has the meaning of section 301.01, number three. This is what they do if you're into this type of stuff. You have to go around and look up the definitions because they hide them. But it's linked. But anyway, it's not a big deal to find. I went back to the original because I like to see the original statutes and see how they're playing the game. But what does it say in that? Let me get down to it. Oops, I missed it here somewhere. 301. Oh, let's see. What did I do here? Oops, I got the wrong one. Yeah, there it is. Okay, 301, number three. Let me get down to number three here. And number three defines it out. But they're statutorily defining the office of federal office. Why would you have to do that? Why would you have to define an office, the thing that's already there? Why? Where is three? What the heck happened to three here? Go to 611. I thought I had this highlighted. I'm sorry. Why did that get unhighlighted? Let me go back and highlight that. We'll do that right now. The term federal office, in quotation mark, means office of the president or vice president, office of the president or vice president, or of a senator or representative in, or delegate or resident commissioner to the Congress. To the Congress, senator or representative to the Congress, not of the Congress. These are statutorily made up nonsense. We technically do not have a constitutional president of the United States. We don't have a constitutional anything. When did the first president of the United States quit taking the constitutional oath? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The constitutional oath, they started inserting the name. It's in quotation marks. Why would we have to change that? Oh, that's right, because we see we make these changes, the devil does. It has to imitate, but it's not the same. And can we believe that they used to have elections only for federal offices and no elections for state public officers? Come on now. That makes zero logical sense. If you got an IQ on the plus side of 80 even. Sheesh. So we have elections only for federal office, and it's for the office of the president, vice president, by citizens of the United States that have no elective franchise. Of course, I've said so over and over. Inside D.C. or outside D.C. starting to understand why we have a real problem here? Because if we can prove all of these things in the District of Columbia, which we can, unassailable facts, and the Supreme Court says, we don't care, even if you go to Mexico, you're still receiving the benefit of that status. You're screwed, Bubba. And we have the other cases externally. We're down to the root of the problem. And the kangaroo judge can't even make a declaration, a determination of personal jurisdiction that you're a citizen of the United States. That's the definition of taxpayer. And we use the Buck Act to get federal area is the same as a federal enclave. Then we go back to the 1939 Public Salary Act that the state said we couldn't tax federal folks. The federal said we couldn't tax states, so we're going to agree to it, and it's called federal income tax. That's in the legislative history going to the Supreme Court that irons it out, and it ain't got nothing to do with you or me.
Do you know there's an ongoing war right here in America?
What do you think? Do I hear music? Okay.
It's really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, well, we're back here, and this identity politics is really important to understand. We got all of these people that think that the dominant folks, that's the white male American citizens, all that, their problems. So we get them all to have a common enemy, Trump. So if you get them all pointing at Trump, they will all, even though they don't agree amongst themselves, you got to vote for a Democrat, because that's the only one that has a common enemy. Identity politics. Just say so. Stacey Abrams, I can't even say it, Abrams, she's spelled it out. She spilled the beans. We're going to get all you idiots out there that think that you are living, that you're owed a living by whatever means you, somebody has done you wrong. Oh, my God. Ugh, it's got to be serious. Everybody's been had wrong done. But if you have been done wrong by the dominant folks, if you hate Trump, join in, be a Democrat. Because we loves killing them babies when they get outside and the woman gives a thumb up or thumb down. Yay for a woman's rights. I could not in my wildest dream imagine anything like this. If that doesn't make somebody, I don't know what to say. It's just beyond belief. A baby is born, and the wife and the woman can give a thumbs up or thumb down, just like in the Gladiator. No, I don't want you. To hell with you. And we don't call it murder. Our world, Baphomet is Baal. These, like I, that movie is really worth watching. It gives you a whole perspective. It's right in our faces. The old, good old Satan knows his time's up, getting closer. And they're getting blatant. They're putting it right out in front of us. This AOC, this gal, this Cortez gal, God almighty, we're going to pay for the people that are unwilling to work. We're going to get airplanes. We're going to rebuild every building in America. I mean, this stuff is so far out there that you'd have to be in Star Wars and it wouldn't even fly in Star Wars. What is wrong with people? Wake up. There is a battle on for our republic. There's a battle on for our souls. The evil is there. I could not believe the arches of Baal being moved to all these different places. And then the goat man showing up at that Goddard Tunnel in Switzerland with people imitating homosexual acts. And that's in celebration of a tunnel that's 35.6 miles long. I don't know what to say. Other than just pure evil. It's just pure evil. Wake up. That's all I can say. Don't believe a thing I say. Check out. We've got cases. We're taking it to them. Mooney case is 0-16-CharlieVictor2547, District of Minnesota. We're going to take those on. One that's going on right now. Another one is, got to find it here, is Toppin's case 4-17-CharlieVictor40017. That's in the District of Massachusetts. They don't want to do the interrogatories and admissions. They don't want to admit they're liars and thieves in the con. Well, guess what? We're not done. I got a post one here, FAA, which is Gladden's case in the Ninth Circuit, and it's 18-35765 and more. I hope you enjoyed it, got something out of it. God willing, and I'm still here. We will see you next Sunday, and what's up with the federales? They're everywhere. Baphomet.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.